We're going to continue here in a moment through our Take It Personally study, you know, our desire to do more than we've ever done before in fulfilling the Great Commission.
And we want to be balanced in our desire to reach the regions beyond. Of course we do, but we don't want to neglect our Jerusalem. And by God's help, we're going to go through this study and ask the Lord to help us all to grow in this area. What we'll do is we'll have a short study tonight and take it personally. And then what we'll do is just go over a few things that we're talking about in our renewal projects and discuss that and perhaps answer any questions that may be there with that. And I'll explain more about that. But listen, if we hear some kind of loud cheering that you hear from outside, it may be coming from Atlanta. I think they just scored another touchdown, okay? I'm just kidding. I say that now because you know what? Old Rogers, he'll come back and beat them because I just said that. But I know, boy, there are a lot of everybody in Georgia is excited about what the possibilities are there. But anyway, we're not here to talk about football. We're here to talk about the Lord. But one thing I know, when Georgia's I don't care what anybody says. You can say I'm being carnal by saying this, but when the Bulldogs win, the spirit is better in this church, okay? That's all I know. It may be carnal, but that's something I noticed. And I noticed Ricky shouts a lot more when they win. But anyway, we are very thankful to be able to be here tonight and just to try to ask God to grow us in this area. And on a serious note, too, I'm going to go to the Lord here in prayer. I did hear some very sad news, and it just brings a seriousness to our hearts and minds when we think of what some of these storms are doing. I don't know if you've heard a report, but I think it's up to 16 that have been killed the past couple days through Mississippi, now in southern Georgia and northern Florida, and something we really need to be praying about. And as a church, and asking the Lord to set a hedge around those people and help those that have lost loved ones and to comfort them. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this time again that we can open your word. And Lord, we can allow your spirit to teach us. And Lord, I confess to you tonight this task of motivating hearts to be more burdened for souls is way, way, way over my head. I know I can't do it, Lord. But I am truly asking with all my heart, Almighty God, Holy Spirit, please work in our hearts. Help us in this thing of taking the Great Commission seriously and taking it personally. I pray you'd change our church, Lord. I pray you'd change our families. Change us individually. Renew a right spirit of a passion for souls. Oh God, only a work that you can do. And I do ask and pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. If you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 is where we'll start off. John, did I ever turn this mic on? Okay. The value of one is what we've talked about before. I'm going to go through this quickly because this is simply a review. The value of one. And what we had is we talked about a soul is eternal. And these are motivations to help remind us of the importance of reaching people for Christ. And we talked about each person has an eternal soul. We talked about heaven and hell and the reality of the two. That is something that we should constantly bring before our hearts and minds. The fact that the people that we see daily, they're going to one or two places. And then we talked about Jesus is the only way of salvation. And many people around us think that there are so many other ways of simply being a good person. Especially in the South here. It shocks me, even here in the Bible Belt, how many doors you can go to and you ask the question, do you know where you're going when you die? They say, yeah, I'm going to heaven. Well, how do you know that? And inevitably, you get that answer, well, I've been a pretty good person. And that is something that that you know and I know. The Bible teaches the opposite. You cannot get to heaven by being a good person. You know, I was shocked the other day. I was at Starbucks and having myself a cup of coffee, getting some work done, and some folks from, I believe it was Connecticut. And so I thought to myself, oh yeah, here's some Yankees. I know they need Jesus. So they went inside and got their coffee, and they got out, and of course I struck up a conversation, and they come to find out they did know the Lord, and I still gave them a tract because of what they said to me. But I believe they are saved, but I didn't have time. I could tell they were kind of in a hurry. I'd love to sit down and explain, well, why are you staying? But I don't know if you've ever heard this statement, but they said they were born-again Catholics. And I've heard that one time before, probably about 7 years ago, and I would have loved to sit down and say, listen, well, if you're born again, you need to get out of the Catholic Church because of the false doctrine that can be so prevalent in that. But it was interesting. But a lot of people you'll run into out there have all kinds of answers of how they're going to get to heaven. And we talked about that. It's so important because Jesus is the only way. Well, if you have your books with you, you'll fill in the next blanks of when you get to section 2, to seek and to save. To seek and to save. You'll go there in your books, if you got them with you. Those of that are visiting with us, you might just want to jot these down if you want to. These are all our members have books. And by the way, if you do not have a book and you want one, please see Lisa or myself or someone so that we can get you the book that you need. And we see there. And here in chapter 2, we're starting to seek and to save. To seek and to save. Now you'll notice there in Luke 19:10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." If you had fewer than 20 words to give one sentence of your life purpose, something that, whatever it may be the best parent, the best nurse, or whatever you do in life, the best student, the best child, you know, you may make a statement that's what you want to define your life and your purpose, why God has given you breath on this earth. You know, Jesus made a life purpose statement. He did it in 16 words. And He did it, we see right here in Luke 19, verse 10. That's Jesus' life purpose statement. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, this is the heartbeat of our Savior. The heartbeat of Jesus Christ. Therefore, church, it should be our heartbeat. It should be our passion and our desire. Jesus didn't come to earth to be admired and to be recognized. We know that He took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He didn't come to be admired in that sense, and He certainly did not come to this earth to enjoy comfort. We know that too. The Son of Man did not have anywhere to lay His head. He didn't come for comfort. I want to submit to you tonight, church, He came to reach lost people. He came to reach people like you and like me. Thank God somebody told us about Him and He worked through them and came after us. And He wants us to do the same thing. He came to seek and save that which was lost. You know, Jesus devoted His time to those who knew they needed salvation. Now, that is something that is very important for us to understand in our philosophy of soul winning. Because, church, let's be honest, it can very quickly be a discouraging task when person after person, house after house, declines the gospel, rejects the gospel or the invitation. But you understand, Jesus came to reach those that knew they were needy. And there are people out there who, I'm telling you, know they are in need. I can't tell you how many times, and you've witnessed to before, when you've talked to somebody about the Lord, or you visited somebody that says, wow, I've been thinking about the Lord. I've been going through some hard times, and I've been searching, I've been thinking. Hey, that's who God's going after. He's not going after the self-righteous. Now, they got the gospel too, of course they did. But that was not his target. I believe the Lord said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Lord Jesus says that He came for the sick. I like what it says here. They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. And I tell you, that's what our heartbeat should be. We want to go after those in our community that are broken. It shouldn't hurt our feelings for folks coming in here smelling like cigarette smoke. Now, if it's one of our deacons, I'm going to be concerned. You say, well, preacher, you don't have deacons yet. Well, I'm working on that too, okay? But somebody that just doesn't look exactly like us, listen, that's all right. That's who God's going after. He's wanting those people. He's wanting to love on them and bring them along in the nurture and admonition and grace of Almighty God. And that's His desire, and that's what we want to do. We want to make those people feel welcomed and let the Lord work in their hearts and grow them. I'm sorry if I am redundant in repeating this, but I remember when I got saved, folks, and I was so rough around the edges, and I'm so thankful that God led me to a Spirit-filled church where they weren't condemning me. I still had all kinds of things hanging on to me from that lost life that I lived. There were still elements of sin in my life that I knew I was struggling with. But they just dealt with me with love and care. And it wasn't long before I started going to Bible studies. And I started going to the college and career activities. And I started getting under the sound preaching of the Word of God that God's Spirit just worked in my heart. Nobody had to say anything to me to stop drinking. No one had to say anything to stop a life of immorality. No one had to say anything to me about stopping cussing. No one had to say anything to me about listening to the rock music that I was listening to. I would hear it from time to time, but I want to tell you, it was never somebody that was banging me over the head about those things, because God's Spirit spoke to me and brought me along in His timing. See, what we do is we want to get our hands on it. And we want to get them all prepared and ready. We want to right up where we are immediately. And I want to tell you, we'll never build a church that way. I'm sorry, I wasn't planning on saying all that. But we want to go out and seek and to save, just like the Lord Jesus did. He met them where they are. In fact, that old self-righteous crowd, why are you going out there and eating and drinking with those sinners? Why are you mingling with them? Those righteous, self-righteous Pharisees. But Jesus had a different goal in life. That's exactly who He wanted to reach. Ultimately, Jesus came to give His life for our sins, church. And can we say hallelujah right there? He says He came to give His life a ransom for many. He gave His blood for us. And then that brings us to what, because He did that, to seek and to save, how does that look for us? Well, He left us with that. Go over with me again to the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to go through these as quickly as I can. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, I'll begin reading in verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That is what we know as the Great Commission. And that comes with four parts that we will study as we move forward in our desire to reach people with the gospel. The first we see, I want us to see very importantly what Jesus says first in verse number 18. You understand here that the command is prefaced with and based on a significant statement. And that statement is this: Jesus saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That word power there carries the idea of authority. It carries the idea of one having the right to send who he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to. That is our Lord. He is the commander. He is the mighty one, and he has sent forth his believers. You know, when I was in the Coast Guard, we had something that we were trained to say, man, because we had people, we had some knotheads that just really did not like us, especially when we stopped them and to get on their boats and to check their life jackets and their permits and registration, all that fun stuff. And without fail, I would hear this: "What gives you the right to be on my boat anyway?" And of course, we were trained to be kind, but with authority. I would say, "Sir, by the U.S. Code of Law, 14 U.S.C. 89 gives us the authority to be on any vessel at any time that we want to." That code of law, that's what gave me the right and our law enforcement team to be on that vessel. And I want us to say, we, the Church of Christ, we have the right and we have the authority to go out in this community and to all the world and to preach the gospel, because we have the authority of this book. We have the right that's been given by the mouth of God Himself, and He says, "Go." I want to tell you, all this depends on me. I just want to use you as vessels. And He says, "Go." Hey, that's a command that involves action. Now, of course, in a perfect world, wouldn't it be so nice if just folks in the community were just flocking to us? Just flocking into the doors. That has happened in the past, especially when there's revival. People are coming out of the woodwork. But it's not the norm. It's not, and Jesus knew that. He wanted, that's why He said, "Go." He didn't expect the church to be built by people sitting and doing nothing. And we want to do something. We want to move with action. And that's what that first command is, that first part of the Great Commission, is simply going, reaching out. So we see the second part is win, is to win them. The first part is to go, and the second part, my little clicker's not working, so I'm going to manually do this here, is to win them. To go is the action, to put the feet forward, and that's what we're trying to do, church. None of us have arrived, and by the way, just because we're doing this and we get finished with this study doesn't mean we've arrived. It only means we're trying to get better. It only means we're trying to grow and do more. But this idea of when we see here, "and teach all nations." There's two times in this Great Commission that it's used. You see there in the passage, it's used. Teach. The first time it's referring to the gospel. That's where it begins. People can't grow unless they know the Savior. And we're going to go and try to give them the gospel. We're going to try to teach it. And we're not just going to tell you to do that. Again, it is my responsibility as your pastor to facilitate and make a way for you to learn how to present the gospel. To know what to say at certain responses, and to know where to go with certain passages, and to know how. And by God's grace, I'm going to help you with that. And we're going to use this study, and I believe it will help us. But we must present the gospel. It's so important that we do that. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I like what that brother say from Macedonia Missions. He used it often in his message, the director. He says, every creature needs a preacher. Y'all remembered it. Good. I remember that. That's so true. Every creature needs a preacher. Everybody needs somebody to tell them about Christ if they don't already know. So that's what we're going to do, with the intent of seeing them come to know the Lord. And one of the things I hope that as we go out, some of you folks that are going to be playing support role, please listen to me. Don't you think for a moment that your role as a support role is less significant than those going out and knocking on the door. That is so backwards. That is so wrong. It is a team effort. And if God has called you and laid on your heart for your support to come to this church and get on your knees or sit in your chair, stand up, whatever position, and cry out to God on the behalf of the teams that are going out from door to door, listen, that is just as important. And you will have the same fruit that the person that comes to Christ and tells them about the gospel, your fruit will be just as equal, friend. Perhaps you will be one of those that helps out with nursery so that others can go out that want to be the contact people and talk. And you're watching children so parents can go out and wherever that may be. Listen, that you will receive just as much fruit as the person that's knocking on the door when somebody comes to Christ. Church, we've got to realize right at the beginning, this is a team effort. And everybody working together collectively. And that's why I believe with all my heart, it should not be a problem for us to have 100% participation from our active members. I believe that's possible, and that's what I'm praying towards. So we see the win part. That's to win them to Christ and present the gospel. And there'll be a second part, though, too, of teaching. We'll get that to here in a minute. But the third part is baptize. That'll be the third one, is to baptize. And God will give us leadership in that. When a person is ready to make that decision to make a public testimony that they've received Christ and they are ready to be received in the membership of the church, that, my friend, is the next step. But let me tell you something. This is where we go wrong a lot of times. That's only the beginning. That's only the beginning. That's when the real work starts. And again, I'm so thankful, and each of you can give a testimony in some way, I hope. I'm so glad somebody discipled me. Somebody came alongside me and taught me the Word of God and mentored me and loved on me. And then I made that decision to get baptized. I'm so thankful for that. And this is how where the discipleship begins, that public testimony. I just had a brother. He's not here tonight. But you keep praying for our brother Victor. I just love him. He's just glowing. Pray for him, please. Put him on your prayer list. Ask God just to continually encourage him. But he even said to me the other day, I had lunch with him, and he said, Pastor, I really am growing a lot, and I'm learning a lot in my discipleship time with Dan. And you know, I think after I get done with my study, I really want to get baptized. I said, praise God, Victor. I said, we're gonna make that happen, buddy. We're going to be right with you, and we're for you. And that's what we're wanting to do, church. That is what God is wanting to do through us. And I'm praying that we'll get on board and that we'll have the vision to go and to baptize and to see them. Listen, it wouldn't hurt my feelings to be in that baptistry every single Sunday. I would love that. But it's not going to come easy. It's going to come with some great fights. And I hope I didn't discourage or depress anybody the other night when I shared my heart with you about the battle that is before us. I only did that because I feel like the seriousness of the matter, because I've even talked to several of you since then that said, Preacher, I didn't raise my hand, but I've been facing some real battles too over the past few weeks. It's very real. Satan knows what we're up to. But thank God, greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. And He is no match for Jesus Christ. He'll whoop me all over this place. I know He can, and I know He will if I don't get close to Jesus. But I'm in line with the Lord, and if you stay in line with the Lord will take care of us, church. And I'm thankful for that. He loves His church, and He's leading with the banner flag, and we follow in line. Jesus Christ will build His church. Thank God for that promise. But then we see this last part, which I've already sort of covered it. You see that second part of teach. We see here in the very first part of the Great Commission, He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's the preaching of the gospel. That's presenting the gospel. And then after they receive Christ, after they have received Christ and there's baptism, He says in verse 30, then it comes to teaching. Teaching them. And that is the fourth fill in the blank here where we'll stop tonight, and that is to teach, to disciple, to mentor, to love, to build relationships with. It's a wonderful thing to teach a new believer. Hey, you know what's something I would love for us to be able to do? I would love, as we get out and people start coming to Christ in our community, I am hoping that we will have several discipleship courses going at one time. It wouldn't hurt my feelings a bit, and none of these adult Sunday school teachers wouldn't hurt their feelings a bit if we started losing people out of our Sunday school classes because they had to work on discipling a new believer. That'd be awesome. And we would love that. I would encourage that. That's what we want. That, my friend, is the Great Commission. And it's just a matter, are we going to embrace the Great Commission as God would have us to? Are we going to value the value of one soul? I pray that it will. I pray that we do. In our next chapter, we'll look at what it takes to own this commission personally. How does it look? How do we get these teenagers involved? How do we get the little ones involved? How do we get our young at heart involved? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the details with God's help going forward. Now, I may mention a little bit more next Sunday, but with the business meeting being next Sunday night, we're not going to have a whole lot of time. But I will probably go back over some of these things, but we'll pick back up when I get back from Africa and continue in this study. Now, just so you can mark your calendars and have an idea, what we are shooting for our kickoff day, will be the first team will be G Team. By then, we'll know who the teams are. Will be the first Saturday of March. Okay? I told you that we would need to modify things, and the way things have worked out, we see that to better prepare ourselves, we're going to take the month of February to get ready. With me being gone a week is affecting that. So we're going to shoot for the first Saturday of February for the first team going out. And the Sunday before, we're going to have a commissioning service. And we're going to have a special meeting that night. We're going to have special prayer and just a commissioning time of us as missionaries. Because praise God, that's what we are. I hope you see yourself as a missionary that God has called because you are. He may not be calling you to Africa or China, but I want to tell you without a shadow of a doubt, I can say 100% with the authority of God's Word, He is calling you to Jackson County, Athens-Clarke County. He is calling you to these communities. He is calling each of us to go and to be involved. And I can't wait to get out there and start seeing God work. That is going to be awesome. And it's going to be Him. I told the young men this morning in our Sunday school class, I said, guys, we were talking about the victories fighting Goliath. And I said, fellas, you hold me accountable. And I said, I'll hold you accountable. Because I said, fellas, we need to plan on victory. David planned on victory when he went out and faced that giant. He had total confidence that God was going to give him the victory. But do you know what he said when he got that victory? You know what he said. He said, this is what I've done. The Lord has given me this victory that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven, that there is a Lord of glory. And He gave God the glory. And anything that takes place good in our efforts to fulfill the Great Commission, we are going to be extra, ultra careful to make sure we give God the glory. Because He is worthy. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for allowing us to serve You. And not just serve You, Lord, but also to come alongside You. As You say, we are co-laborers together. And Lord, I do pray that You would encourage our hearts, help our church get this vision of doing more than we've ever done before in fulfilling the Great Commission. Lord, would You help us to take it personally? Would You renew in us a fresh burden for souls? And for that, Lord, what You do, we'll give You the thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.